This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you on this first Monday of the month. And you know what that means. It's Monthly Marriage Monday right here on Women of Grace Live. That means I am in studio on the campus of EWTN Radio, and Jack Williams, my husband, joins me today. If you're out there on YouTube or Facebook, he is waving at you. There you go. Wave again, honey, so they can see you. There you go. I'm waving too. Always delightful to be with you on Monthly Marriage Monday. We invite you to call in with your questions or comments about marriage, perhaps your marriage, or if you're intending to get married. We want to know all about it right here. So I do hope that you will give us a call to our toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on EWTN Radio. Also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to use the chat feature there to get us your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. We'll be able to address it. We've got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, Matt Gubensky answering the phones today, and I am so excited by all of it and very happy to be with you along with you, Jack. It's always fun to be with you in studio, honey.
I agree with you 100%. It is always fun to be with me in studio.
I knew that was coming. I just knew it was coming. You know, sometimes I set them up, friends. I don't even mean to set them up, but I set them up, and there you go. And he is a jokester.
It's wonderful to be with you as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I'm included. Thank you for that.
Hey, listen, so you know what I want people, before you tell them of everything that's going on at Women of Grace,
yes,
I want people to call in. Lent starts Wednesday.
I did.
Actually, Lent starts today for our brothers and sisters in the Maronite rite.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's Ash Monday.
That's very true.
So I want people to call in with any question that they have about anything, especially marriage, but also, what do you do or have you done in the past or plan to do this year as a couple as a penance for Lent?
Oh, okay. So do you remember the television series Welcome Back, Cotter?
I do.
Okay, and you remember the one fellow? He was, Horshack.
Arnold Horshack.
So I am being Horshack. My head is in there. I've been thinking about Lent.
I know.
And I have been thinking about certain things that we can do.
You've been thinking about Lent out loud.
I have been. You know, I like to think out loud because I like to talk. Which is why I do what I do, I suppose. I don't know. I didn't plan to do this, but I've always been in the talking business. As I've mentioned any number of times, Sister Mary Lois, my first grade teacher at St. William's Elementary School in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which East Pittsburgh still exists, but the school doesn't. Anyway, in first grade, she called me Little Miss Talking Machine. And I have been talking, I guess, all my life. But all of that being said, you know, we can talk a little bit, you know, after the first break about, you know, what I mentioned to you on the way home from Mass.
Sure.
Okay, yesterday. But in my own personal life, you know, I've made some decisions on what I want to do during this time of Lent, and I'm going to try to affect those. I don't know that I want to share them out loud because I don't want to necessarily be held to it.
Is one of them going to a Young Women of Grace online event?
Yes, one of them is. That's this week. Thank you, Jack. What
You're
a
welcome.
Lovely setup. I am planning to do everything Women of Grace through Lent, which is really just a continuation of my life. But all of that being said, March 7th, I want to let you all know, March 7th, a very important date. That is this Friday from 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We are having a Young Women of Grace event, and it's beautiful. We're going to be talking about virtuous friendship. That's what we're going to be talking about, virtuous friendship. And it's going to be a lovely, lovely evening. Cindy Westbrook, one of our premier Young Women of Grace facilitators, is going to be leading it, along with some of the girls from her own Women of Grace group right here in Birmingham at Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic School. And I want to tell you, it's going to be just a lovely, lovely time. Also, I understand participating in it is my granddaughter, who is in her
sophomore year.
Yeah, she's in her second semester of her sophomore year at Ave Maria University there in the Everglades, down there in Florida, just outside of Naples, actually. But yeah, it's kind of nestling towards the Everglades there. All of that being said, she is going to be joining in as well. And I understand that she has a couple of specialties that she's going to be offering to the young girls. So it's going to be just a lovely, lovely time. Also lovely about it is that it's a free event. It's a free event. Yes, you heard me. Free. If I had a neon sign that you could see through these airwaves, I would be holding it up right now. It is a free event. So I want to encourage you to come with your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, your goddaughter. I want you to come with your students. I want you to, if you mention it in the classroom, that would be great. Of course, many of you are probably in the classroom right now not hearing this, but I hope somebody will tell you about it so you can announce it. We want the girls to come because for them to have a firm understanding of who they are as the daughters of the Most High God, how special their gender is, what it means to be authentically feminine, what that means is very, very important for them to understand. And I want to say it's important for us adult women to understand as well. Of course, our Women of Grace Foundational Study offers that insight for adult women, our young women of grace, for younger women. So who should come? Well, what is the age group we're looking for? We're looking for that junior high through high school age group primarily for young women of grace. They can be a little bit younger. They can be a little bit older. I know that many college students benefit by what is in young women of grace. Obviously, they are at an age when they could take the full-blown study for the women. But all of that being said, there is so much for our young women to explore. We want to lead them in the way in which they should go, ultimately leading them to the feminine genius, our Blessed Lady, who is the exemplar for each one of us, created in the image and likeness of God, whom God has determined that we should be of the feminine, female gender. So we really encourage you to join us. The girls always have a good time. There is participation throughout. We have fun pools that we take, P-O-L-L-S. I always have to spell that because I'm from Pittsburgh, and P-O-L-L, P-O-L-E, P-O-O-L, P-U-L-L. They all kind of sound the same. So anyway, I'm talking about P-O-L-L-S. We have pools throughout that they can participate in, and it's just a lot of fun, but oh my goodness, they walk away so enriched. Thank you, Jack, for setting that up for me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Pole.
I know.
Taking poles.
So Jack is constantly trying to help me, but I can tell you, the muscles in my mouth don't work like that. You know? They weren't trained in that way. They were trained according to just a bit of a Pittsburgh accent that is still there, unless I'm in Pittsburgh, and then it's full-blown.
And if she gets upset with you, you'll really hear it.
Jack, you never hear it then, because I'm never upset with you.
I wish my behavior warranted that, but sadly, on occasion, it does
and
not.
And the good news is we have lots of friars here that will hear my confession and never telling just a little white lie. There is no such thing as that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's the music. We got to go to a break. More to come on the other side of the break. It's monthly.
Hang in there, Monica. You're first.
It's Monthly Marriage Monday, 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live on this first Monday of the month of March. It is Monthly Marriage Monday. We invite you to join us here. We've got a toll-free number for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free for you if you're here in North America. That's 833-288-EWTN or 833-288-3986. If you're not in North America, we have a number for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 1-800-585. We invite you to use that number, too. Available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we invite you to use the chat feature, and we will get your question retrieved. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. Matt Gubensky on the phones today. And I want to let you know, I was talking about YouTube a minute there. EWTN has its own official YouTube channel, and all you have to do is go to YouTube and put in EWTN, and it'll pop up for you. There are tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics, and it's all free. So, you know, you can use the search feature there, get there really fast, and then use the search feature and find out the topic you're interested in. And the fact of the matter is, our radio program is there, as are the other radio programs. Every day, EWTN adds new radio programs as well as television shows, tells you about live events, gives you devotionals, gives you homilies, offers specials to you. It covers live events. When you go to YouTube, as I said, just search EWTN and you're going to find it there. So much is going on in the world today. I think it's really very important to look at it from a Catholic perspective.
You know what the best part of it? You know what the best part of it is?
What?
You never have to worry about having your Catholic sensibilities assaulted.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, when you're watching content from EWTN.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Besides all of that, I think it's very important all of the time. We're going to get to you just in half a second here, Monica, who is a first-time caller, by the way, so we're going to ring our little bell for her. But that being said, I think it's very important, and we don't think about this, that it's very important to constantly be looking at the world through the lens of our Catholic faith. We're Catholics first, and then we're Americans. We're Catholics first, and then we're, you know, citizens of the world. We're Catholics first, and then members of our own little communities and our own parishes. So we need to constantly be about the business of making sure that our formation is good. And, I'm blessed because I work in the venue where this is what I do, Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday, too, 24/7, constantly reading books because I'm interviewing guests for television, talking with all of you about the faith every day. But that doesn't mean that I don't need to constantly be aware of the fact that it's very easy to fall victim to the zeitgeist of the age and to fall into a very secular mindset or a very partisan mindset about the way in which we view the world. A political mindset is what I was referring to last there. So we want to look at everything through the lens of the church. How does the church view this? Not what we think the church views, or not what certain pundits tell us the church views. What does the church say? Catechism of the Catholic Church, a good rudder. Scripture, a good rudder. EWTN programming, a good rudder. So thanks, Jack. I think it's very important to always remind ourselves of that fact.
Let's go to Monica.
Let's do that. We've got Monica with us. She is in Houston, Texas today. And Monica is a first-time caller. We are going to ring our first-time bell for her. There we go, Monica. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes, sweetie, you're on the air, honey.
Yes, and the topic was about marriage.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you that... my husband and I, we just got married on August the 27th of last year, 2024.
Wonderful.
On St. Monica's Day, and that was really strange how it turned out because we had planned for 2 weeks in advance, but the priest, he had a conference to attend, and in the following week, my friend would be out of town to witness, and so we ended up having it on St. Monica's Day.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah, I just felt like God's blessing. God's really always, God never abandons us. He always with us. So he's in control. He has everything in order. And so he's in hospice right now. Oh. He's home care hospice, and I care for him. He reached his 2-year anniversary February 28th. But a lot of times people hear that, take care of him at home, and they say, oh, that's not easy, that's so hard, and things like that. And I feel like, hold it, put the brakes on that, because it is not as hard as you think. To me, I say it's easy when you do it for love, but you have God first. God is the center of our lives. God is the center of my life.
Yes.
And center of my husband's life. So anybody, everybody's life. And so it becomes a lot easier when you can focus on God. When you come in the morning and I'll say, Well, I used to say that, but I kind of got out of it. But I used to say, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, my Jesus. You know, things like that. But it kind of just helps make things easier to remember that God is always with us.
Monica, I want to comment on this. And first of all, I'm so happy that you and your husband have experienced this beautiful gift, the sacrament of matrimony. So congratulations on your marriage. And, you know, you haven't even come up to your first year anniversary, and already the cross is very much a part of your experience in marriage. And marriage is going to have its crosses. You know, we're going to have crosses in our life no matter what our vocation is. And I think one of the greatest crosses that we can carry within marriage is facing very serious illnesses, especially when that illness appears as though it's going to be terminal. And of course, both Jack and I understand that cross. Both of us had spouses prior to us marrying who suffered from cancer. And I took care at home of my husband, Anthony, as well as with the assistance of my daughters. We took care of him with terminal brain cancer. And we did also have hospice, and we had hospice at home. And he passed away in our home. I would never, ever want to trade those days. I would never want to trade that experience for not having had it. The fact of the matter is, it is very likely one of the greatest ways that we show our love, and one of the greatest ways in which we enter into a sense of selflessness. We find that we can do things we never thought we would be able to do for the sake of the other in those very tenuous times, from learning how to give shots to changing a catheter to doing all kinds of different things that we never, ever thought that we could do. But the grace of God is there, and He does help us through everything. And that service of love, you know, is that part of the marriage vow that says, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. Right, Jack?
That's right. Yeah. And I didn't have quite the same experience. We also, Susie also had in-home hospice care for about 3 hours
yes.
before she actually
yes.
passed away. So we didn't have the prolonged home care situation that you all had, but it was, you know, still there's, you know, I always tell people that, you know, there's grace involved in knowing the end is near.
That's right.
And there really is. And you actually turned that into sort of a little mini criteria when you were considering marriage again.
Yes.
You asked yourself the question, you know, would I be willing to go through this again with this person?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, obviously I decided I could, you know, I felt.
And I immediately tested your word.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because Monica, interestingly enough, you know, Jack and I were only married for 6 weeks when we discovered that he had a major health problem. The evidence of it, we didn't really know prior to the marriage. And I'm grateful to God that we didn't know, not that it would have affected my decision, but I think that Jack would have wanted to spare me what that might entail. So I was happy that we didn't find out until after the marriage. But 6 weeks after marriage, Jack was diagnosed with rectal cancer. And we spent our first year of marriage going through the suffering and the pain of chemotherapy and of radiation. And it was a very different experience than I had with Anthony, because Anthony's brain cancer, we knew from the beginning, was terminal. We had much more hope with regard to you, and we've had a very good outcome, praise be to God. And but all of that being said, you know, that once again, that grace of marriage was there to help us to take those steps that were very important.
And Monica, if I'm not mistaken, you and your husband have actually been together for quite some time. And have you noticed have you experienced the graces since August that have come with the sacramentalization, for lack of a better word, of your marriage?
Yes, especially being able to receive Holy Communion again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, I know my, and what Jack is alluding to is what we're receiving here, from Matt. You know, we get little notes based on the discussion that the two of you have prior to going on the air. And he says that, you know, you were in a civil marriage for a long time and you had the marriage come to its fruition.
Convalidated.
Yeah, convalidated in August of 2024. And so, you know, here you are with those graces, very active and engaged for you at this time. What would you say was the most significant change that you saw within the context of your relationship by way of the sacrament of matrimony?
A relationship with whom? With my husband or with?
With your husband, specifically.
I just feel like I have more of a greater love, and also just more happiness. Even though he's bedbound, and he has what you call Huntington's disease, and that's genetic. And his father was in bed for 10 years.
Oh,
he had anniversary. My husband 2 years. So and another thing, what happened is what I feel like. When he received Holy Communion, everybody thought it was a miracle because we were all standing around the bed, and we got married here at home, of course. And he spoke. The priest had asked the witness, the male witness, our friend, to speak for him. But my husband said no. He wanted to say the vows, and he did. And everybody in the room thought it was a miracle that he had spoke himself, and there was not a dry eye in the room. That's one of the graces that, and so many more of that I don't have a great memory, but there's a lot of graces.
I'm so happy. What would you recommend? I mean, your case is such a special one, based on the type of illness that your husband has, the disease. Huntington's is just a very, very ugly disease, to say the least, in what happens to the human person by way of it. But here you are. And what would you say to someone who is in a civil marriage now, but has not received the sacrament of matrimony? How would you encourage them?
I would say, don't wait. Jesus is calling you. Don't wait, because that's what I did. I procrastinated and I waited until one day it dawned on me that I wanted to receive the Lord, and I wanted him to be part of my life in a bigger way than he was. And so don't wait. Start doing the paperwork. I had my application, I think it was revised four times, and I worked on it. It's very hard to do an annulment because it brings back a lot of memories, but don't think about that. Don't focus on that. Focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Oh.
With our Lord. Just think about God and how you want to be with him. We are belong to him, so he's always with us. He don't ever abandon us, so why are we pushing him away? Why did I push him away? Why would you push him away?
You know, Monica, a lot of people really find, if you enter into it with genuine motivations, so many people find the annulment process to be very healing. Did you find the same experience?
In the beginning, no. It wasn't until it dawned on me about having that relationship with Jesus Christ. I kept pushing him away, so I needed to. But yes, it is healing once it's completed.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much and you are a witness. Just as newlyweds, just simply as newlyweds in the church, you're a witness to everybody. We have a couple of newlyweds at the network right now. We have Bradley Jordan and Katie Ryan, who were married last weekend. And we have our dear Molly Henley, who was just married in the church, I think this past weekend, sometime really recently. She just got married. And there's no greater witness than a sacramental marriage in the church. It just builds up everybody.
It does. It does indeed. Well, Monica, thank you so very much. And what is your husband's first name, dear?
Richard.
All right. I will tuck Richard and I will tuck you into my rosary, and I'm just going to put you there and keep you there, okay?
Thank you.
I'm sure our producer, Richard, will say a prayer for him also.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for your call, Monica. And we invite you to call us, too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And, you know, Monica's situation points out to us, Jack, as does our situation, that we never actually know what that path of marriage is going to look like. We oftentimes think it's going to be just strewn with honey and roses, but we know that it's inevitable that the cross is going to come, and it comes in a variety of different ways. But when we dig into those matrimonial graces and we cooperate with them, and first and foremost, it's by recognizing the fact that they are there, we find that our marriage is enriched by the experience, not diminished by it.
Absolutely. And Lent is a great time to not only improve our own personal holiness, but to improve our holiness as a couple.
That's right.
And here in a couple minutes, you're going to share your ideas, your inspirations, your words of encouragement for us during this Lenten journey. And we want to hear about things that you maybe have done as a couple in the past during Lent, or that you plan to do this upcoming Lenten season, which starts in the Roman Rite Wednesday, starts in some of the Eastern Rites today.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. So there's more to come on the other side of the break, and I'm encouraging you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Matthew Gabensky answering the phones today. He'll take your call and get you up on the board. Pedro Quiles out there in social media land, collecting your questions and your comments from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Rich Jesse doing the producer there. He says that anyone married to a Richard needs prayer. That might be true. I don't know. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. Today is the first Monday of the month. That makes it Monthly Marriage Monday, and we're looking forward to your call here. Jack Williams, my husband, in studio with me on the campus of EWTN. We're right here in the radio studio. We have Rich Jesse doing the producing today, Matthew Gabensky answering the phones, Pedro Quiles collecting your questions out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're inviting you to join us. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use so that we can chit-chat with you right here on the air. That's 833-288-EWTN. Again, out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you'll find a chat feature. We want you to use that chat feature to put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it collected. Pedro going to do that. He'll put it up on the board. We can talk about it. Did you know you can text us too? You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and then put in your question or comment. Do keep it pithy, because after all, it is a text message. It doesn't need to be long and rambling. Keep it succinct there. And also tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening. And we'll get that information up, and we'll be able to address it that way too. So we're talking about Lent today. We're talking about Lenten practices, but we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. And the fact of the matter is, we all know that Lent is a journey, right? It's a time that the church sets aside every year as we anticipate Easter to lead us into a deeper exploration of our life in Christ Jesus. And we in the Catholic Church talk about Lent being marked by prayer, being marked by fasting, being marked by almsgiving. In the midst of that, though, we are also called to reflect upon the fact that we are all in need of purification. If any one of us thinks we're perfect, I'll tell you what, we have a serious problem, because we are not going to grow in a relationship with the Lord. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they are the perfect ones, right? And we
everybody who's imperfect in the studio, raise your hand.
Put your hand down, Jack. Put your hand down, Rich.
What? We're imperfect.
Oh, imperfect. I thought you said anyone who thinks they're perfect.
No, anybody who thinks they're imperfect. Oh. Anybody who's imperfect in the studio, raise your hands.
Oh, well, now all of our hands are up.
Yeah,
okay. Sorry, I didn't hear exactly what you said there. All that being said, you know, we also have to remember that, you know, this is Lent is meant to be a personal journey with the Lord. But recall the fact that when you're married, you become one flesh. And so there is something about marriage that indicates that this should be a journey that is lived out within the context of a marriage as well. So I hadn't really thought of all of that when we were driving home from Mass yesterday. But it occurred to me as we were driving home that when we were courting and when we were first married, we engaged in a very beautiful practice. And that beautiful practice was making a holy hour together at least once a week. But then as these years, and of course, we're only coming up on 7, but you know what happens? Life intervenes. And sometimes we start off with these beautiful holy habits and we set them to the side. And maybe that's something you've done personally or corporately, you know, as a couple. But I said to Jack, I think it would be really nice if we tried to renew that during this Lenten season with the hopes that this does become now a routinized way in which we live our life together, that we spend an hour together with Jesus every week, at least an hour. And so you like that idea.
I do. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And really, when you look back, you know, we're all prone to distraction, mm-hmm. and we are all prone to getting bogged down by the concerns that we're forced to deal with on a daily basis, mm-hmm. just as members of society, you know, period. But, you know, and listen, here's the biggest thing, too, is if you have stumbled or if you have fallen short in some area, don't stay on the ground.
That's right.
Get up. You know, the evil one can't kick you around if you're not laying on the ground.
That's right.
And so don't let that be. And listen, we are prime examples of what was probably the most beautiful aspect of our courtship.
Well, the fact that we pray together
every day. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do we pray together every day now?
No.
Not just no, but hell no.
Well, we do begin. We strive to remember.
We do. But
we strive to remember. Wait a sec. We strive to remember in the morning to do our morning offering together,
right.
and our consecration to Jesus through Mary. We do that most mornings. I would say 95% of the mornings. Yeah, I think that's
If we're in our normal
routine,
that's true.
Yeah, right.
But if we get even the least bit out of our normal routine, then sometimes that tends to fall by the wayside, unfortunately.
Right. Well, and sometimes, you know, and I think this is a Johnette fault, which I'll openly admit on the air here. You know, I can, and I don't know if this is true for you, Jack, but I think it is because I see your behavior, but I do witness it after all, you know, just saying. But that being said, you know, I tend to get very myopic. I get very singular visioned, you know, and my singular vision often is on what I've got to get accomplished, what I've got to do. And so I can wake up in the morning and, you know, most of the time before I'm out of bed, I make my personal morning offering and my personal consecration to Jesus through Mary. But, you know, then the very first thing I'm doing after that is I'm thinking about, okay, so I've got to get up. I've got to take the dog out, get something to eat. I want to have my time of prayer. Then I got to get ready. Then it's time for radio. And then I've got to do this. Then I've got, you know, and so I've got a schedule. And so sometimes it's like I can go through the day with blinders on and all I'm seeing is that. And I'm not looking, you know, through the peripheral vision that is necessary. And it's a personality thing. I have got to strive to do that. I have to be very intentional. And that's the big word. If we want to continue with holy habits, we've got to be very intentional about it. Very intentional. And we've got to rouse ourselves sometimes to be very intentional about it. And to make certain that we're putting into our day that which is most important. And, you know, paying attention to each other as a couple is very, very important. And sometimes we all fall victim to that because sometimes we won't get our prayer in because, you know, you've got a lot to do and you're rushing out the door. I've got a lot to do. And so we've got to be very intentional about it. I don't know if any of you can relate to the maladies that I've just outlined here. But the fact of the matter is, that is a little insight on the Williams household sometimes.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. What have you done in the past that maybe has really enriched your marriage during the Lenten season? And what do you plan to do for this Lenten season? And let me give you another pro tip from a professional sinner. If you fall off the wagon during Lent because of something, you know, that you resolve to do during Lent, and you fall off the wagon and you miss some days of that, don't let that stop you from getting back on the horse.
There you go.
I don't care if you have missed 3 weeks and there's 2 days left in Lent. Pick it back up.
Yep.
Pick it back up.
Yeah.
Do the next right thing.
That's right. You know, and sometimes we capitulate. Oh, I messed up and that's that. No, that doesn't have to be that. And that whole business of being very intentional, setting priorities. That's another thing that would be a very good Lenten practice, to set the priorities. Is your daily time prayer a priority in your life? Do you spend time with Jesus every day, you know, or do you let things crowd it out? I know when I don't have my prayer time in my day, it just doesn't go so well. Even if I have it later in the day, it's, you know, there's just something missing. I need that grace in the morning. I really need that grace in the morning. And it's very frustrating to me when I postpone it for maybe a good reason. Sometimes you can't help it. You have to, because of something, you know, that comes up that's unexpected. It's an emergency. But, you know, we want to try to fit that time in, and we want to be very intentional about it, setting those intentions.
You know, we had a little conversation earlier today about why we do monthly Marriage Monday.
Yes.
And one of the things that we talked about was the evil one has marriage under attack. You know, mm-hmm. He's smart. He's no match for our Lord, but he's smart. And he's a superior being to us in most ways. And he knows how to attack. And he knows, and we talked about if you look at any evil social movement that has happened in the history of man, they have always gone after the church and the family.
That's right.
Always going after the church and the family. And we need to, as Catholics, set the example of what it looks like to lock arms, to stay in the herd, to be protected by the sheepdog that is Holy Mother Church, and don't let the evil one get in. Wolves don't go barreling headlong into a flock of sheep. Mm-hmm. They try to get you off by yourself. So if you find yourself wanting to be alone and you're married, I'm pretty certain that if you're married sacramentally in the church, that you are not being called to be a hermit. That's not what your vocation is going to be. So give your head a shake and get yourself back, locked arms with your spouse, and the two of you lock arms with your Catholic community, and build that flock that'll stand strong against whatever that wolf has to offer.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the truth. And, you know, I don't, you know, people will say, well, you know, it was a bad marriage from the beginning. Well, if it's a bad marriage from the beginning, maybe the marriage shouldn't have happened. The idea being that if you are not married at this point in time, but you're in a relationship, if there are problems there, are these problems that can be resolved? You know, are they resolvable issues? If they're not resolvable issues, then you need to reconsider. You need to look for those big red flags. And if there's a big red flag there, you've got to pay particular attention to it, no matter what the emotions might be telling you. The emotions need to be governed by an act of the will, and the will needs to be governed by our intellect, you know. But, you know, sometimes things devolve in a marriage. Can you go back to the beginning and figure out where did things start to go bad? What can we do to reel this in? Is it ever hopeless? I don't think so, because with God, all things are possible. Jesus tells us that, you know, all things are possible with God. So there does have to be that mutual decision to do so. And again, I'm going to use that big old word, intentional. There has to be a certain intentionality about it. And I think that that's one of the ways, Jack, in which the evil one has so compromised marriage is we live in a day and a time where, you know, unfortunately, the secular vision of marriage is that marriage is disposable and that, you know, if a marriage doesn't work, we'll just get a divorce and start over again with somebody else, which leads to serial divorce, which is not a good thing. Hardest of all, of course, on the children is divorce.
Which then leads to no marriage at all.
Well, that's exactly right.
And then at that point, you have exponentially increased your problem from marriages being disposable to people being disposable.
Well, that's right. And that's that. There you have it. And of course, that's the devolving that the evil one wants. When you say that marriage is under attack today, well, I remember that word that the Blessed Mother supposedly entrusted to Sister Lucia, who was the third seer of Fatima that lived until she was, 96? Mm-hmm. Something like that, 95, 96 years old. And it was, this, 21st century, that our Blessed Mother appeared to Sister Lucia, and we have every reason to believe that this is actual, even though it's private revelation. And our Blessed Lady told her that the greatest challenge, or the greatest attack of the evil one, the final attack, I think she used the word, would be against marriage and the family. And why is that? Because marriage and the family is the cornerstone of civilization. And we can just look at, you know, contemporary civilization here in our country or in any Western country and see what's happened. How we've capitulated, marriage has, we have compromised the sacrament of matrimony, and we see the terrible effects that have taken place in our day and time. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. So we need to be looking at ways in which we can fortify and strengthen our marriage. And Lent is a great time for fortifying and strengthening, right? Our own spiritual resolve, our own process of purification and sanctification, but also that corporate reality that exists in the one flesh union of husband and wife.
I want to read some scripture here.
Okay, go right ahead.
That's okay with you. We in the old calendar, back before the Second Vatican Council.
Yes.
The three Sundays leading up to Ash Wednesday were given special titles in order to sort of prepare ourselves for the season of Lent that was upcoming. And the second of those three Sundays leading up to Lent, the reading, the epistle reading that was on that calendar was essentially the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter to Corinth. And I want to read some of that to our listeners right now, and there's a point to it at the end. The apostle writes, "I must boast, there is nothing to be gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I wish to boast, I shall be a fool, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think of me more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan." So this is not really the passage that I was actually looking for. I think it actually came before this in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians.
That's a lovely chapter.
It is, but Paul then, in the 11th chapter, I guess, was going through, and I'm not going to take the time to look it up here as we're running short on time, but he went through everything. He enumerated everything that he had been through.
Oh, yes.
Whether it being scourged, 40 lashes less one, beaten with rods, shipwrecked twice, nights spent in the open ocean, out of a boat, and things like this. And it just made me reflect on the things I fuss about when he's giving us this list of things that he deemed worth going through for the sake of the truth of the gospel. And I think to myself sometimes, and I can't cut my spouse a little slack here.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you what, you know, God doesn't call everybody to that kind of a witness, right? Some people have experienced that, especially we see that in the life of the martyrs and people that have lived in very dire circumstances as a result of the faith. But the fact of the matter is that God offers us opportunities every day to have our own 40 lashes, to have our own shipwrecks, to have our own capsizing, and I think that at the end of that list, if I'm not mistaken, he says, but the greatest of all of the sufferings, is the revilement of the brethren, basically, when those within the faith speak against his work. And so the fact of the matter is we all have these opportunities through the course of the day to be a witness and to practice charity of heart, love of heart, even in the midst of all things. And love is not the warm fuzzies. Love is a decision. It's an act of the will. It's a free will decision that's prompted by grace to love in spite of unlovable treatment, to nonetheless die to self in the midst of that situation and circumstance. And I think that that's where a lot of the tension grows in marriage, because, you know, none of us like that dying to self. But that's where the practice of the virtues comes in: patience, fortitude, long-suffering, modesty. And here I don't just mean modesty in dress, but I mean a humility of heart, which is really what modesty is all about.
And it really is what allowed him to go through that. And it is the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the second part of that chapter, where he recounts all of these hardships.
Would you read
hardships.
Did you have it up there?
I
was just going to ask you, do you see that one, the last thing that he lists in that list there? But the greatest of all of these are the...
Yeah, he says, five times I have received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil of hardship. Though many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, it's I don't know, it's just good to take inventory every once in a while of how bad do we really have it.
Yeah.
You know, people around here will ask me how I'm doing in a given day, and occasionally I'll tell them, my office is 50 feet from the Blessed Sacrament and I'm married to Johnette. How bad could it be for me?
Well, I don't know about that last one. Being close to the Blessed Sacrament is a good thing, and that's why we've made this little decision for Lent. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we've made that decision. So what decision are you going to make? I have all of our listening audience to give a witness. So anyway, you know, I don't know what your plans are for Lent. Certainly, I hope that you're planning Lent. Let's not just have Lent sneak up on us, right? Let's make a decision for Lent. Let's be intentional about that decision. And let's hope that, you know, through the course of Lent, this becomes a holy habit that we continue through every day of our life until the Lord says, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. It's time. Let's go. Won't that be a glorious day indeed?
And I'll tell you what another glorious day would be, and that would be a monthly Marriage Monday filled with phone calls.
Yes, we would.
Everywhere
like
we go, people say, I love monthly Marriage Monday, but no one ever calls on
Monday
or email. So tell them how they can leave a listener comment for monthly Marriage Monday.
Well, there you have
or
it.
Send us an email.
Well, obviously, you know, we give you the number and we give you the social media ways to get in touch with us throughout the course of the program. But you can also leave 24/7 a question or a comment for us. And that particular address, or excuse me, phone number is country code 1-205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. We'll get it and we'll address it on the air here next month at the beginning of, oh, dare I even say it, April. Oh, gee, whizzakers. I can't believe it either. Well, it's been great being with all of you today. We love spending this time with you, inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, see what is going on there. And I want to remind you that this afternoon, Ave Maria in the Afternoon is on at 5 Eastern on EWTN Radio with Dr. Marcus Peter. Today, Joe Heschmeyer. Is going to be his guest on Pope Peter defending the church's most distinctive doctrine in a time of crisis. God bless y'all. Bye-bye now.